Welcome to our community worship, Thanksgiving worship service. I'm Pastor Dean Ridbeck, and we're glad you're here. And just a couple announcements along with welcoming you, our sister congregations and fellow pastors. Two important things. One, immediately following the service, there'll be a reception afterwards in the building right behind us, and would invite you all to join us for that. I know the ladies have prepared some wonderful delights for us to enjoy, and it's always a good time getting to know one another, fellowship, encourage one another in our walk of faith with Christ. And as well, this evening, we're going to take a retiring offering, meaning the offering plate is up here. We're not going to pass the offering plate. The offering will be given in its entirety to Opelousas Lighthouse Mission. And the work that Johnny Carrier, Mike Fontenot, and others are carrying on there, special needy time of year. If you're going to make a checkout, just make the checkout straight to Opelousas Lighthouse Mission, and we'll deliver the offering to them tomorrow. I believe that's all the announcements. Would invite you to please stand for our opening call to worship. This evening, reading from Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and following. This is God's word. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank you that we can gather together in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it is our prayer that we as your people would gladly worship you with one heart, with one voice, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray this evening that you would fill our hearts anew and afresh with that joy of salvation in Christ, that you would be pleased to receive our thanksgiving and praise and worship, and that we would be growing in our grace and knowledge, but especially in our love for Jesus. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. Our opening hymn of praise is in our Red Trinity hymnals here. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. I want to thank our worship team. This is a lot of our church folks are on vacation, as I'm sure yours are, but real thankful for all of my dear friends for taking part. Hymn number 53.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You may be seated. Have a responsive reading there in our worship bulletin, taken from a few portions of Scripture, but centering on that theme of thanks. And I'll begin, and if you all would read the bold verses, but this is from God's Word, and let's use it in our worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples.
Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works.
Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom.
Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
And crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures.
And they fell on their faces the throne and worship God, saying,
let's read this together. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. It's our pleasure this evening, our joy, to have Lydia Futch sing a special piece, Alabaster. It would have fit in well, actually, with this morning's message. Was preaching from Mark chapter 14. You'll hear the words. It speaks of the woman who broke her alabaster jar and poured her costly perfume over the head of Jesus, even flowing down onto His feet as a sacrifice of love for her beloved Savior.
My lips so lost for
Thank you, Lydia. In our bulletin, have the Apostles' Creed, a great affirmation of faith for all Christians, not taken from Scripture, but certainly based upon the truths of Scripture. And let us read it together as a people of faith in Christ. I ask you, as a people of God, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Two hymns, and let you remain seated for both of these. The one is in the hymnal, We Gather Together, 363. But keep your bulletin handy. Immediately following the first one will seamlessly transition into Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart as well.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Great singing. Our scripture lesson for tonight is taken from Psalm 100. You can have the words there in your bulletin, or you can follow along in your own Bibles, or we have pew Bibles as well. I'm going to read the whole psalm, but we're focusing just on verse 4. And as you're turning there, someone asked how long the service was going to last tonight. And I said, well, I'm not sure. It depends on how long that pesky preacher goes on. So, Lord willing, we'll keep it clear and to the point and centering on Christ. But hear God's word. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You that You patiently teach us as followers of Christ. Lord, thank You that You teach us even how to be thankful. It's not the natural inclination of our hearts, Lord. We're prone to grumbling, prone to murmuring. And Lord, teach us how to be thankful. Most of all, may we be thankful for Jesus. And we ask this all in His name. Amen. The first group of pilgrims who sailed over to the New World in that fall of 1620 had every reason not to be thankful. When you read the historical work of Plymouth Plantation for the year 1620, to 1647. It was a journal that was kept by William Bradford, almost lost, but later on discovered. But you know, as you read through it, you would see some of the severe trials that the pilgrims endured. Harsh sailing weather, cramped quarters, severe seasickness. They were taunted by the crew of the ship. They loved to make fun of the Christians along the way. Then a devastating and deadly first winter there in New England. Well, how did the pilgrims persevere in the New World? Of course, it's by God's grace, but they worked hard. They worshipped God. They sang the Psalms. In fact, one of the first books that was published in the New World was actually a hymn book, the Bay Psalm Book, published in 1640. Psalm 100 has been called the Pilgrim Psalm. Dr. James Boyce writes this: this psalm was known by our Puritan forebear as the Pilgrim Psalm because it was cherished by our Puritan forebears as an appropriate and moving description of their experience in coming to the New World. This evening, I would like for us to focus just on that fourth verse of Psalm 100. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Just a little bit of background here about Psalm 100. It's the only psalm with that inscription. You can see it there in your Bibles, a psalm for giving thanks. And as you go through the psalm, if we were to look at and study all of the psalm, you'll see that it's packed with powerful commands. Thanksgiving is not optional. We're to be thanking God, to make a joyful noise, serve the Lord with gladness, come into His presence with singing, know that the Lord, He is God. And even in this fourth verse, we'll see three clear commands of the Lord teaching us about thanksgiving. Truly, all of Psalm 100 is a call to worship God as our Creator, as our Redeemer, as our Shepherd. And the truth is this, as God's beloved people, and that's who we are, beloved in Christ, we should always express our thanks to Him. Well, how can a Christian be thankful? Three truths here. There's a command to enter with thanksgiving. There's a call to express our thanks to God. And then finally, there is a charge to exalt God with thanks. Beginning there with that first scriptural truth, there is a command to enter into His presence with thanks. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, we read, and His courts with praise. Come in to His gates with thanksgiving. If you look in the Old Testament, God actually commanded Israel to enter into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, go in, take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers. And here the Lord says, enter into His gates. Now, it's important we see that little pronoun. These are His gates. We're coming into His presence. We're coming into His city by His gracious pleasure. It's a sovereign place of unparalleled security, a refuge from the enemy, a safe place in the storms of life. We're to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Too often we, or maybe it's me, but maybe you can identify with this, we just thank God when things are going well. We're in good health, we've got a little money in the checkbook, the weather's okay, our kids are behaving, we know we have food for tomorrow. But we struggle at times to thank God when life gets hard. And here the Lord says, well, we're to always enter His gates with thanksgiving. There's a wonderful scriptural illustration of this. We all know the book of Jonah. Jonah swallowed in God's providence by that great fish there's a wonderful prayer in Jonah. Jonah chapter 2 and just one verse. Jonah is praying this, keep in mind, from the belly of the great fish. And we read Jonah 2 verse 9, the last part of his prayer. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and then into His courts with praise. The idea there with courts is we're coming into God's temple. When you see an illustration of the temple, they had the court of the Gentiles. And then as you go further in, you have the court of the women, and then the holy place, and then the holy of holies. And here God is inviting us to come into His presence, to worship Him, to enter His courts with praise, with songs of praise in our hearts and on our lips. this is not just a passing praise. There's a persevering praise that ought to be resonating from us as followers of Christ. There's a command to enter into His presence with thanks. In the church of my childhood, we had a Thanksgiving service, but actually it was on Thanksgiving Day, 10 a.m. in the morning. You know, and for us as Presbyterians, that was always a wonderful change. We always had church at 11. You know, it's right there in Scripture, church at 11. And so we had church at 10 a.m., and we would bring canned food. Back then they had a canned food drive, and the canned food would go to the city mission. And if we stayed late after church, we got to see the men load the boxes of canned food into the trucks. And when I was a child, that was always a great delight. But our pastor then knew scriptures well. He knew history well. And at that service, we would read the Mayflower Compact. Would commend that to your reading. I'm sure you can find it online. Our pastor would always preach a message on the Christian witness of the pilgrims. We would sing many of the same hymns that we have sung tonight. One of those hymns that we would sing is We Gather Together. And let me read that third verse for us again. You know, as we think about entering into God's presence with thanks, we all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation endure through tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free. If you do a little study on that hymn, it gets real interesting. The melody actually dates back to 1597 to the Netherlands. All good reason to believe that the pilgrims knew this hymn, that they sang this hymn, not in English, of course. And so they were praising God as they sang this hymn. We are praising God. There's a command to enter into His presence with thanks. But next we see there's a call to express our thanks to God. There, the second part of verse 4, give thanks to Him. You all give thanks. So often we think of thanksgiving as just something personal and private. And here Scripture is calling us to be giving thanks to God together as a body of believers in Christ, as a church family. There's an urgency and a forcefulness to this command. But look again. It says not just give thanks, but give thanks to Him. You know, thanksgiving is always directed to God. It's not a question of, well, are we thankful or not, but are we giving thanks to God for who He is and for what He has done for us in Christ? True thanksgiving is always directed to our great and gracious God. And as I was thinking about that, studying this in preparation for tonight, a little light bulb went in my head. Holy Spirit was at work, but let me give you a few examples of that. Oh, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the prophetess Anna is waiting in the temple for the presentation of the Christ child. And we read this, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 37, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and praying night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You see this as well. I give you one other scriptural illustration. even in heaven, we will still be thanking God. Thus the title for the sermon, Always Thankful. We cannot be guilty of being sporadically thankful. God calls us to be always thankful. Revelation 11, verse 17, the scene from heaven, 24 elders sit on their thrones before God, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign." And it goes on from there. And just to see the danger of not giving thanks to God, or not giving thanks to Him. When you take a look at Romans chapter 1, describing the heart of the unbeliever, unbelievers give thanks. But it tells us that although, this is a paraphrase, although they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks to Him. We as God's people are called to always give thanks. There's an account in the New Testament, Luke chapter 17. Jesus is met by 10 lepers, maybe. You're familiar with the account. They plead for Jesus to have mercy on them. And Jesus commands them to show themselves to the priest. And as they're on their way to the priest, and when they arrive, all 10 are cleansed. But only one of them, a Samaritan, returns. He turns back. He expresses his praise and thanks to God. We read this, Luke chapter 17, verse 16. "And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Now, he was a Samaritan. There's a note of rejoicing and regret there. You're thankful that this one healed leper did give thanks. But the regret is, why did not the other 9 give thanks to God? They were all healed. But here it is the one who was not only physically healed, but spiritually healed as well. All good reason to believe we'll see this healed Samaritan in glory one day. He had a heartfelt gratitude for God's grace. We are called to express our thanks to God. It's a good thing to do that on Sunday when you're gathered together as God's body of believers and each of your churches, each of our churches. But may Thanksgiving be something we do daily. First thing when we get up in the morning. Last thing before we go to bed. Maybe even in the middle of the afternoon when we're getting tired or that co-worker is getting on our last nerve. To stop and say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are the God of my salvation. Thank you for your patience and perseverance in my heart and life." We do express our thanks to God in our glad worship, but we express our thanks as well in our godly walk of faith in Christ. As well, even with our gospel witness. I believe the Lord will and can use us in a mighty way, even this week, to be thankful. Thankful for who He is. Thankful that He has placed us here in Opelousas, Louisiana, to be His salt and light. There's a command to enter into His presence with thanks. There's a call to express our thanks. But finally, there's a charge to exalt God with glad thanks. The last part of verse 4, bless His name. Just so you don't misunderstand, this is not one of those, "well, bless your little heart," that we might say in passing to someone. What's happening when we bless God's name? We are publicly, passionately, corporately praising God for His gracious work of salvation. Really, we're confessing His name before a watching world around us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11 puts it this way. Well, let me back up, verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess. That's the same word here in the New Testament. Every tongue bless that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, as God's people, we are called to always express our thanks to Him. I close with this story and a couple quick illustrations or a couple applications. Just came across this. It said, before his conversion, John Wesley was impressed, deeply impressed by a conversation he had with a porter, you know, just a lowly servant at his college. Wesley discovered that the man had only one coat, had not eaten that day because he was so poor, and yet this lowly porter was overflowing with thanks towards God. And keep in mind, this is Wesley before his conversion, before his heart became strangely warmed. Wesley said to the porter, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank Him for?" And this porter seemed to be a man of great faith who truly understand what it meant to give thanks. His answer was this: "I thank Him," answered the porter, "that He has given me life and being and a heart to love Him and a desire to serve Him." And as you know, with the conversion account of John Wesley, it seems clear that the Lord used this witness of this thankful porter as a testimony of faith, even to John Wesley. What are two takeaways? May we always enter into God's presence with thanks. Thanks because He calls us, He invites us to come into His presence. He enables us to worship Him. But secondly, may we always express our thanks to God, especially thanking Him for sending to us His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of sinners. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You with our hearts, with our hands, with our voices, with all of our being. Thanking You, Father, for Your great and glorious character, but thanking You especially for Your gracious love for us in Christ. And Lord, we pray. I pray it for myself. I pray it for each one here that we would be publicly thanking You, not only with our words, but with our gospel deeds, our acts of love done in the name of Christ. Lord, pray that this week, that as we express our thanks to You, that You would keep our hearts soft and tender, and that You would be pleased to use us as Your salt and light, not only here in Opelousas and St. Landry Parish, but wherever we might be traveling. And whatever the company, we ask this all to the glory of Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is there in our hymnal, "Come Ye Thankful People, Come." Again, a hymn that has been sung as a hymn of thanks by God's people for a long time. Let's stand together and praise God as we sing hymn 715. Come, ye thankful people, come. Sing it loudly and joyfully and thankfully.
Have to say what I'm thankful for sitting there. I was just sitting there realizing that I've been preaching through Revelation. I'm digressing a little bit. I've been preaching through Revelation the past couple of months, and I just sat there and realized something. An epiphany occurred that in Revelation 5, when all the tribes are gathered before the throne room, the tribes that he's talking about are the tribes or the churches or the denominations. I always refer to, I'm in the Methodist tribe, and there's Baptist tribes, and there's Presbyterian tribes, and there's non-denominational tribes, and there's Catholic tribes. But all the people are gathered before the throne of God. And what an image that we celebrate today that I'm so thankful for, that all the people are gathered here and worshiping God together. And so that's just the thought I want you to take with you, that we're all in this place worshiping the same God, our Lord and Savior, through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have brought us here to this place. You have restored our souls. You have given us family and extended family. You have given us all these people in this place gathered together to say what they are thankful for, and we are thankful for you. We are thankful for Christ. We are thankful that Jesus died for us. We are thankful that we can stand in this place together and praise you. That we can stand as one family, united in that prayer of thanksgiving. And I pray that as we leave this place, we can take with us that same thankfulness and go into the world and tell others that you died for them and share that gospel message so that others might come to know the thanksgiving that we have in our lives. I give you great thanks for this moment, O Lord, and great thanks for all those who are gathered here in your presence. Amen. Amen. I pray that you go out to love and serve Jesus Christ in all that you do in your life with a great thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Restroom over there. But please stay.
Because I thought